Well, these are amazing services. I really like the concept we have here of like taking care of our kids from like really young to, you know, we get to kick them out when they graduate. And it's just really fun to watch that transition and be with kids who've grown up in the church. And it's just amazing. It's part of the community. And I know I've just really enjoyed our kids growing up. And so many of you know our kids. So many of you have pouring into them and just seeing that same thing, you know, just kind of duplicating itself over and over again is just spectacular. I think that's how the body of Christ should be, where we treat everyone as a person who has the opportunity to connect with Jesus directly and train them up and equip them, and then they go out and then they conquer the world. Amen? Amen. Yes. So today we have someone who is going to come up and share, and we mentioned last week, Sierra's going to come up. You can come up. And she's been one of those ones who's grown up here. She's been through the children's ministry, and it's been amazing to watch Sierra grow because she's served. Even when she's like in children's ministry, she's helping, she's leading. She gets into youth group, and she's helping, and she's leading. And then we try to kick her out, and she's like, I ain't having any of that. And she comes back, and she's helping and leading. And it's just been amazing to watch her grow up as a young woman. It's awesome to see her and her passion for the Lord. She loves Jesus. And that is evident. She's a worshiper, and it's just been really good to see her take what God's pouring into her and share that with other people. And the video we saw today, you know, about, you know, don't talk in the name of Jesus, and then they're like, I ain't going to do that. Well, she doesn't do that either. She's like, I am all over Jesus, and I'm going to tell him. And so today she's going to share about her Youth with a Mission experience, where she went out and shared Jesus. Actually, you learned a bunch about yourself first, right? You get worked over to know God and to make him known. So she got worked over a bunch, and then she went out, and so she's going to tell you all about that. So let's give a big hand for Sierra.
Thank you. Okay. Yeah, so Youth with a Mission is an organization that's all over the world. It's kind of like a missionary training school where you have 3 months of being at a base, and they train you and disciple you to know who God is and make him known. And then after that 3 months, they just kick you off and you're going 2 months on a mission trip where you might not know the language or the people. And so that's kind of what happened to me. I do have some pictures and a video. So with the base that I went to, it's in Kona, Hawaii, which is very nice. And they're like, people are like, oh, that must be real. But that's where they discipled me each week, learning something new. Like first week was Father Week, and kind of like knowing your identity as a daughter or son of the one true King, and Holy Spirit Week, and relationships and different things like that. So my first picture is just, this is on my outreach. I have pictures of my outreach and a little video of what Kona, Hawaii, the campus was like, because unfortunately I lost my phone, so I don't have my picture. So I have this video to kind of give you an idea of what it's like.
All I've ever known is coming to a close, and I've got to know how to step off the edge into a world of the unknown. And it's alright that I don't know what's next. I've got a lot of questions and maybe some fear. How to let go and give it up. I won't attempt this on my own. It's gonna take some trust and believing. Come on, it's what we call it faith. Yeah, all you need's a little faith. Yeah, come on, have some faith. Yeah, but trusting and believing in something we don't see. They say life is a journey, and take it step by step. I don't wanna rush it or get too far ahead. I'm gonna take every moment let it sink in. I'm just a part of the story, and someone else's plan. That's why we call it fate. Yeah, all you need's a little faith. Yeah, come on and have some faith. Yeah, it's just someone believing in something we don't see. Yeah, all you need's a little faith. Yeah, come on and have some faith. Yeah. Believing in something without seeing. Blessed are those who believe without seeing, seeing. Blessed are those who walk in the way of the Lord. Blessed are those who believe without seeing, seeing. Blessed are those who walk in the way of the Lord. Trusting and believing is something we don't see.
Kind of a little glimpse of what life was like on campus. As you saw, there's some like, so there's different tracks within YWAM as far as like, they're teaching you like with your job or with your talents, how can you preach the gospel? And so there is a CrossFit ministry that's called Respect the Corners, which is pretty much reaching the gospel through fitness, which is actually, they use CrossFit because it's all over the world where you can reach people through that. And there's also farming and messengers, which is the track that I did, which is like learning how to preach the gospel to others. And so like for every Monday, for me when I was on campus, we went to an apartment complex and we got to share the gospel with kids, playing around, and sometimes teenagers, and we got to pray with them and always share Bible stories with them, with people, which is part of the way that I was trained to share with others. We got to practice it while I was in Kona as well as the Dominican Republic. It was insane. Like I was in a room with seven girls, and we were bunking together, and there was one girl from Canada watching, and one girl like from Germany. So they're all over the world. And during my time in Hawaii, I got a lot of breakthrough as far as like, I feel like before I went to YWAM, I was kind of like lukewarm, and like I knew Jesus, but I didn't have a personal relationship with him because I was kind of shying away of praying because I thought, what's the point of praying if I don't hear God or I don't know his voice? Like, when am I going to get an answer? How do I know the answer? And just these questions and kind of doubts of like, does God really hear me? Can he speak to me? And how do I know if he's speaking to me? So one of the main things that I learned was to hear the voice of God when I was there. Because our main learning things that we learned about is intercession and praying. Every day we have 2 hours of prayer boot camp. And so we had like little exercises where we would go in groups and we would ask the Lord, like, what does this God say about this person? And so we were able to pray and see if this make sense to you? Like, is this a word for you? And so, and many times it would. So like my friends would be like, oh yes, this is exactly what I need to hear, and things like that. But a lot of things happened, and so I was set free from things. Like, I thought I had to be perfect before I went on this vision trip. And for a lot of my youth and like growing up in this church, I feel like I have this this persona like I'm the perfect Christian, which that's not the case. I do struggle with things. And one of the things I hid a lot from people, my family, was that I struggled with pornography. And this was keeping me from like questioning if I should go to this YWAM thing, because like I don't want to struggle with this. There's all these Christians that are so holy, and I'm like, I'm not good enough. I feel like that was Satan trying to tell me that like you shouldn't go there because you're going to be exposed. And so, but I was praying so hard because I've been wrestling with this and fighting this for a long time, and I was like, God, I don't want to deal with this there. So, like, when I got on the base, and like, my first day, like, I never struggled with it again. I was set free from day one. Praise God. And, and I still have no desire to let that back into my life. Like, he took that desire out of my heart. And, it was so cool because, we talked about the first week of YWAM, we talked about the Father's heart, and we talked about how much he loves us and that we don't earn his love. And I was just so just filled with God's love like I've never experienced before. And I feel like that just take a weight off me. And I remember one time I was in a worship set, and there is this, during these worship trips, the staff members, they come and pray for the students. And a woman prayed for me, and she said that God says that you are beautiful, that you are pure, and that you are brave. I felt like just a weight lifted off of me, and I was free from that. I had these thoughts that I wasn't pure, not just because of my issues, but because I had this, the enemy was saying that I like did the unforgivable sin, which is like blaspheming the Holy Spirit, which is kind of confusing. I don't know why it's in the Bible, because I'm like, it's confusing exactly what it is. But for whatever reason, I thought I blaspheme the Holy Spirit. I'm like, bam, going to hell. But yeah, I still want to live for God. So this doesn't make sense. So like that was just broken off of me, and I was like, wow, I experienced freedom and a new relationship with the Lord. And then week two, another worship set happens, and I've heard of the spiritual gifts of tongues and healings and stuff like that, which that actually happened quite a bit in YWAM. There were some healings, and some people's legs were growing out because some legs were shorter than the other, and crazy stuff that I haven't experienced before. But so I was in a prayer set worshiping God, and I start talking, and it sounds really weird. I'm like, is this the gift of tongues? And I keep talking, and I speak in it again. And I'm like, Lord, if this is a gift of tongues, I don't want it, because I sound really weird. And I don't sound cool like the other people. They sound so angelic. I just sound like almost like I'm talking so fast, like I'm rapping or something. I'm like, okay. So then the next day, I go back, we have another worship set, like this happens like every day, and I just let it loose. I'm like, okay, if there's tongues, let's just see if this is legit, because I thought you had to like be prayed for, or like you had to like really want tongues, because I didn't even really want tongues. I didn't ask God to give me tongues, or I thought you had to be super spiritual to have tongues. But anyway, next day, I let it loose, I started speaking in tongues, and then the lecture's over, and it's time for lunch. And I just keep, because I have this gift, I'm like, oh, I just want to sit, and I want to speak in tongues, I want to pray. So I pray in English, and then I pray in tongues, and this happened for like an hour, and so I missed lunch. I was just, I was just so excited about this. I was like, wow, this is so cool. Like, I didn't think I'd ever have this. And then the kids come back from lunch, and we continue school. And then after that, I talked to my grandpa about it, because he has a gift of tongues. So I was like, I need to talk to someone who knows what this is. I'm like, what do I do with this? I don't know. Because I know some people, I don't say that to not speak in tongues in front of other people, because they don't want to seem boastful as if they're more spiritual than others, which is not the case, because I got it, and I didn't even ask for it. I didn't do anything religious to get it. I mean, it is truly a gift, and that's a testimony of that. So I talked to my grandpa for like 3 hours, and then I missed dinner. but God is so good. So like during that week, it was like giving week. So like we had a challenge to be generous to one another. And so these girls go to the canyon. There's this cafe on campus, and they grab a cookie, and then they pray, and they're like, who are we supposed to give this cookie to? And I was like near the cafe, but I was leaving. And then I'm just walking in the dark to my dorm, and then these girls are just chasing me, and I'm like, what are they doing? Like, I'm like, because, like, I just keep walking. I was like, I don't know why these girls are running, but I just keep walking. but the girl, she had, like, a vision. It was almost like a picture of a girl with a blue shirt standing next to a banner or something like that. So anyway, I was the girl in her vision or her picture. And so they're like, hey, it was kind of dark, so they couldn't really tell what color of shirt I was wearing. So like, hey, are you wearing a blue shirt? And like, yes, I am. And then I was standing next to something that looked like what was in her picture. And they're like, and so they were like, okay, well, I think God wants us to give this to you. And they're like, you're hungry for the Lord, so taste and see that the Lord is good. And then they just were so excited that they found me. And then they're like, oh, we also have leftover dinner from dinner. So they gave me a whole plate of pasta with bread, and so it's just so cool how the Lord provided for me during that time. And so yeah, that was such a cool moment. And then what else did we have? And then we had Holy Spirit Week, which is kind of talking about the different gifts of the Spirit, and I was like, it would be really cool if I could get the gift of not tongues, because I already got that one. if I could get the gift of healing, I was like, that would be super cool. And God says, hey, have faith like a child, and the child wants all the gifts, so I mean. so I pray about that. I'm like, Lord, I don't want to abuse your gifts, because I know that some people do that. And so I'm like, if you give me the gift of healing, like, I don't want to abuse it. So if I'm going to abuse it, don't give me it. So that was one thing that I was praying for and seeking God for. But I was just chilling. I wasn't praying for people to get healed. But I definitely was praying for people in those prayer sets. It was like, I saw like when we were having worship sets, I started praying for others, because like God would just point someone out to me, and I would just go up in faith and pray for them, and the Lord would just speak through me. I was like, wow, that's so cool, and like a lot of times it resonated with them. And so, but during this time of like intimate time with the Lord, is like, it's so easy to have time with God, because everyone's having time with God, or at least they should be. And so I go to the prayer room, which you saw on the screen a little bit, and I just start talking to God, and I'd like ask a question. I just write down on a notebook a question for the Lord, and he would answer it. And I was like, wow, this is super easy. I didn't know that the Lord could give you an answer like automatically. And so sometimes like I knew it was the Lord, because I would say my question in my head, and he would answer it before I finished saying the question. And so that was so cool to learn the voice of the Lord, because that changed everything as far as my intimacy with the Lord. I was like, wow, I can actually talk to you, you can talk to me, and I know what you sound like. But I did pray. Of course, sometimes you can worry about your own bias when you pray for things. And so I just prayed that no other voice would be able to speak to me. Like my own, I prayed against my own voice, other voices, the devil. And I was like, God, I only want to hear you. So those are one things to help me to learn who God was and what his voice sounded like. And so then it was time for the next season, which was outreach. So I ended up going to the Dominican Republic, and that was a fun experience. I had 13 teammates, and we had a good time. You want to show the next picture? Okay, so here this is my teammate Noah and Simone, and we're the Dominican Republic. They speak Spanish, so we have some Spanish Bibles. So on the picture on the far left for me is a place called Duquesa. It's a trash city, so it's pretty much a dump, and people live there. The Catholic Church there built homes for them, and we got to preach to the people there. We had translators because not all of us know Spanish. I know a little bit of Spanish, so that was awesome. And then we would have Bibles ready to give out. And I have this picture of the woman and her son because we went to a park, and we just, a girl on my team named Hannah, she's from Austria. She went to this lady and her son, and she pretty much preached the gospel with a translator. And she just gave her life to Christ, and then she gave her a Bible. And like right away, this woman starts reading to her son the Bible right away. So that was just such a cool moment to see. Like, I mean, they can take Bibles, but you never know what they're going to do with them. But immediately she was like, I want to know Jesus, and started reading the Bible. So that was a really cool moment in our ministry. And you want to go to the next slide? Okay, here is, I did some ministry with these girls are from a church we spoke at sometimes, and they just wanted us to take them. They took us to their friends that didn't know the Lord, and we talked to them about him, and we invited them to their church. And so they're also, and so that was super cool. And in this picture, we have, we went to, this is the same place in Duquesa, where there's some policemen behind us, because, we got the police called on us while we were preaching, and it was like we split up in two groups, and we were like preaching the gospel and stuff. But there's also a huge amount of witchcraft in the Dominican Republic. So sometimes, well, I know my leader Gabe, he kind of went off road where we're not supposed to go, and I'm pretty sure he went to a place where they did witchcraft, but he didn't go inside the door because they felt like they weren't supposed to, but they preached to the people outside of it, of who God was. And so one of the groups, when they were walking along the road, there were people like hiding in their house, like they were like running from them as if they were scared. So I'm not sure if they were scared because they were doing witchcraft or what, but they called the police on us. And the police there are kind of corrupt. They take advantage of white people, so they could have taken our money. They could have put him in prison. They could have imprisoned us just because. But that was not our story. And they kind of just like, okay, like we kind of explained why we were here, and they were fine. And we got to even pray with them, which I guess never happens. So that was such a blessing and a cool moment that we got to have. And there's a guy in the red hat. His name is Andy. And he, by the time he got there, he was 1 month being a Christian. And he was so excited to meet us because, of course, we are Christian. And my leader, Gabe, he started mentoring him and giving him Bibles. And like once he got Bibles, he was already leading Bible studies. He's just so on fire for God, being only 1 month a Christian and having all these Catholic and different religions kind of going against the norm over there, which was super cool. Next slide. Okay. Okay, here we are with Andy. It was super cool. We did these days called Holy Spirit-led days. So my team would like pray in the morning and ask God what to do that day. And so pretty much we did whatever the majority got from what God said. And a lot of people thought that we should go to Duquesa, which is meaning to go back there and see Andy. And this was really cool because we were having a hard time getting a hold of Andy because he broke his phone and his SIM card. So he was talking to it through a friend's phone. But we ended up going to Duquesa and finding him. And it was so cool because, like, when we saw him, I mean, he was so happy because he had a vision that we already... Sorry, before this, a little backstory. We already left Duquesa and we told them that we weren't coming back. So when we came back, and it was like, I knew you guys were coming back. The Lord told me you were coming back. And so we were just so moved. And he's also doing college. But he needed his phone for that. So we blessed him with a new phone and a SIM card, which we had just enough money for in cash. And he was just so overwhelmed with how God provided for him. And that was such a blessing for him and for us. And that is his house right behind us. And yeah, he's just so overwhelmed with emotion in that picture, as he has a new phone and a SIM card so he can continue his education. Next slide. Oh, yes. This is the last day of our... So we were at one base is called in Santo Domingo, which is the capital of the Dominican Republic. And this was our last day. And I felt the Lord wanted me to lead a prayer set. So for the people who were working on the base or students on the base, we invited them. And it was so cool to see because, like, some of them knew English, not all of them did. But we led a prayer set, and a lot of them were kind of shy. They're in the back, kind of just a little shy. Then we told them, like, hey, this is for you guys, not for us. You guys are welcome. And by the time that they got into it, they were really, like, worshiping and praising God and being more relaxed. And it was so cool to see. And I made a good friend. She's Chili Dodd right there. Yeah, I loved her so much, and I got to pray for her, and yeah, we had a special moment. And I'm super excited because she's from Haiti, and actually almost all those people up there are from Haiti. But she's working on a book right now of her testimony because she's gotten prophesied over that her book is going to be read by many people. Right now she's on page 100 and she has a broken family, and her calling is to tell people what it's like to live in a divorced family and to bring hope to families. And that's what we did there. Next slide. We also did some ministry in orphanages. Here's some. We played basketball with them. We played games. We shared testimonies and stories of the Bible. And there is Noah. He's sharing his story while the other one's translating. That was such a good time to see, like, how joyful these kids were when they have a lot less than we do. But obviously, money does not buy joy or happiness, because these kids, I think, were one of the happiest people I've seen. And yeah, it was such a blessing to work with them. Next slide. Sorry. So for, like, our second part of our outreach, we were in Higuaín. So we lived in a hotel, which was kind of different. But we got the opportunity to speak on TV. I got the opportunity to speak on the radio, which is really cool. I kind of talked about lukewarm Christianity and pretty much being on fire for the Lord, because I think it's like 40% of the people in Igwe are Christian. So a lot of them already know about Christ, but they're still, because there's Catholic, that's the main religion, they have a hard time with knowing that, like, God's love is a free gift, and he died for us. And so when we went out to preach to people, A lot of times, like, I remember one boy was like, thought he was going to hell because he dyed his hair. I'm like, that's not true. Because the Catholic Church was telling them, like, oh, you have to have, like, long dresses. Yeah, can't dye your hair. You can't have tattoos. All these religions and, like, extra rules that are not in the Bible. And so it was interesting because we did have a girl on our team that has tattoos. And so it's cool as chief priest. She's like, and then people are asking, like, why do you have tattoos? So I'm like, and so that was cool to I don't know. It was different and eye-opening for them to see Christians in a different setting. That was cool. Yeah, next slide. Right. This is a sugar plantation. These are slaves. So it's owned by an American company that they own, and pretty much almost all of Dominican Republic is like sugar plantations. And so they bring people from Haiti, they promise them work and housing, and then they bring them over to work at these sugar plantations. So for all that area behind him, he was demonstrating how he does it. So they only have a machete, they don't have any like advanced tools to do each individual sugar cane, and for 1,000 pounds of sugar cane they get paid $2. And they have names, they don't have names, they have numbers, and they have houses, and like usually two families are in them, and there's like 10 people per family. So if you imagine that, it's really crowded. And then they have a porta potty, like an outhouse, where it's just a hole, and four houses share the same toilet. So it's pretty sad, but we got to bring hope there, and we shared the gospel with them. And I prayed for this woman. Unfortunately, you can't see her whole face, but I was holding her son, and I got to pray for her that her because she had diabetes, and she was just so grateful, but like she was trying to like prick her finger to show me that her like diabetes or her blood sugar was high. And I was like, okay, so I saw it. And then she's like, after I prayed for her, she's like, I think I feel better, but like I had to leave before she could like show me that it went down or something. So I'm not sure if it actually did go down, but I believe in it did. On this side, we got to see people work on the sugar plantains, and we got to preach the gospel to workers. And it was crazy because my leader, he's preaching the gospel, and some of these people, they don't speak Spanish, so the translator maybe couldn't translate to their language because some of them speak Creole, which is the Haitian language. But it was crazy because this guy who didn't know Spanish, although he was being spoken to in Spanish, he was like raising his hand for like giving his life to Christ. I was like, what? This doesn't make any sense. But I believe that God translated for him because like he was the first person to raise his hand. And like, okay, we're praying, it's like, raise your hand if you want Jesus. And he was like so confident, like, hey, I want Jesus. And so I believe that God did a miracle and translated for us in his language the gospel of Jesus and gave his life to Jesus there. And so that was a credible testimony of what God can do. Next slide. Oh my gosh. Okay. Here is my friend Mabel. Man, she's amazing. She preached a lot, although she had insane anxiety. Like, before YWAM, her anxiety was out of control, and she had to take medication. And, like, even, like, when she was at home, she'd be, like, pacing and, like, shaking her hands and trembling. She wouldn't eat for days. Her anxiety was so bad. And I remember the first time she preached, she like shared her testimony, and then like right after she had a panic attack and she was shaking and trembling and crying. But it was so cool to see how the Lord was faithful in breaking off the anxiety off her. Every day she got better and she was more confident, and you could just see the joy that was in her. Even if she felt so bad, she was continuing persistent to share the gospel. So that was super cool. And then also so that she was sharing the gospel at a school, and I'm there, but I'm not in the picture. I just felt, and after she said her message, and Noah, another guy, said his message, then I felt like so overwhelmed by the Spirit of God. I was like, my hands were all warm, and I was like, this is weird. Like, God, what do you want me to do? And so I felt like this woman was pointed out to me in the back. And so after we were done, I went up to this woman, and I was like, okay, well, I think God wants me to pray for you. I felt God was saying that her leg was hurting. So they had a translator, which happened to be the pastor, and he's also our host, translating for us. And he was good friends with this woman who was the principal of the school. And so I pray for her. She says that her shoulder hurts. I'm like, okay, maybe I got this wrong. And then her leg hurts, or I think I got the wrong leg. I'm like, okay, maybe this isn't you, God, but I'm going to pray anyways. And so I prayed for her shoulder and her leg, and she was completely healed. And it was so insane. So it was so cool to see how God used me, because she had 30 chiropractor procedures on her shoulder, and she could not raise her arm above her head, but that day she did, and she kept on doing it, and she was so excited to see how the Lord healed her. And I just prayed that she would experience the love of God, and that was super cool to see that God used me in that way after I've been praying for that for a while. I was like, and so I was just so blessed that he used me, and I didn't have to be used in that way. He didn't have to, but he chose me, which is amazing. And then here I am, I'm preaching at, this is the Sugar Plantation. They do have a couple churches here. I was pretty much, talking about Jesus, and I wanted to, after I was done preaching, I wanted to pray for them, because a lot of them were having physical illnesses. Some of them were blind. And I was like, okay, we got to pray for these people. But unfortunately, the pastor was like, we got to go, and we got to go now. Like, we don't have time to waste. Because these people are desperate. They have nothing. So sometimes they do some crazy things. And so they had actually tire traps out for their car. So they were trying to raid us or kidnap us or something. So we had to leave right away, and then we had to go a different way, so we wouldn't go over the tire traps. And so, that was kind of a surreal moment, but I was like, wow, this is a really outreach when you're about to be captured. And then, we didn't fear, because we kept going back. So, the enemy definitely didn't have a hold on us just because that happened. And so, next slide. This is a place called Limon. It's like in the mountains of the Dominican Republic. And these people, they did know Jesus, but the daughter who's in the pink shorts, she kind of wanted a more intimate relationship with God. And I got to share with her what I was reading in the Bible and encourage her and And so, that was super cool. And they were so generous. These people are so nice. Like, this was like a normal thing. So, they would set out chairs for us to have a conversation, every time. So, the culture is warm and welcoming. And, so that made it a lot easier to share the gospel. And they gave us little coffee, and they gave us little cakes, which was so good. But it's crazy how generous these people are, because they have, nothing, but they give anyways. And so before I went to YWAM, they did teach us, hey, culture, and be like, hey, if they give you food, this is probably, almost everything they have, and so don't take too much. and so that was a really cool experience. And this mom in the blue shirt, she has 10 kids, and their kids are, it was cool to hear her story. And then here's another picture. I think it was the same picture of the boy and the mom. Okay, next slide. Oh yeah, here's the food. We have some fish, and the yellow things are platanos. That's very common. It's like giant bananas, but their taste a little different. So sometimes I cut them when they're green, and they taste like French fries because they're not sweet when they're green. So that's kind of what I had them with ketchup because that's pretty much what it's like. It's like French fries. And then we had empanadas, which is like deep fried stuff with cheese and meat in it, which is that thing. And we had a lot of Burger King because we were on a budget. And also we were in a hotel because so we didn't have anyone to cook for us. So that was that. And then this is mushed plantains with like corn and meat in it, which is also another thing they have there. And some fish. So yeah, that's pretty much what we ate like all the time. Like I feel like three times a week it was Burger King. Five times a week it was empanadas. Five times a week it was empanadas. Okay, next slide. Yes. So here are the boys out on my team. They were so cool. They were like brothers to me. And here's some of the girls, not all of the girls. But yeah, here's us at McDonald's. Or no, this is Burger King. And there was them at the mall. And yeah, we had a good time. The boys were so funny. And it was cool because I haven't had brothers, but they were like brothers to me. Yeah, amazing dudes. Love Jesus. And yeah, it was like family there. Next slide. Okay, and this is our whole team together at the end. Yeah, we grew a lot. And yeah, so this is the final picture of all of us, except maybe one. There is from the blonde girl at the bottom. She's from Norway, and her name is Nora. Nora from Norway. And Hannah with the long brown hair on that side. She's from Austria. And then we have two Canadians, Mabel, she's the one that's not in this picture. And then there's Emily. Are they both on this picture? Anyway, they're both not in that picture. But yeah, it was cool to hang out with people from different cultures and different countries and getting to share the gospel alongside of them. And yes, so that is my YWAM experience. And also one more thing. As I came back, and was trying to pursue the Lord, and because I knew it wouldn't be as easy as it was when you're around a bunch of Christian people pursuing God. But one thing I do, and I continue to do, I'm not always perfect at it, is first I write my journal, and I just write praises to God. Because I feel like that way, you kind of know what all the time of what God's doing in your life. Because I feel like if we don't pay attention to what is going well in our lives, we miss out on what God is doing in our lives. As far as like we can pray for things, but yeah, oftentimes I feel like we think that God doesn't answer them is because we forget about them. But that always reminds me of like, okay, God, wow, you did this in my life. Like before I came, I went back home. I knew that God wanted me to do something with elderly people, maybe like working in a nursing home or something like that. And so now I'm a home care aide working for a 98-year-old and a 104-year-old. And so it's just cool to see how God's working in that. I knew that I was going to go back and be a youth leader to encourage them, to encourage the kids and like share what I've done here in YWAM. And so now I'm currently working a lot. I work at the YMCA, and I work as a home care aide with older people. So now that I'm done with YWAM, I am planning to do another school called Revival and Reformation and going back and learning more because I'm not sure exactly what God wants me to do next. And I don't want to rush into something because culture says so. And so I'm going to go back and learn more and see God and hopefully find out what he wants for me to do next. And that's my plan for this coming season. But yeah, so that was That's what I've been up to for 6 months while I've been gone this whole time. I've been preaching the gospel and, yeah, sharing the word and learning a lot, and definitely had some culture shock and coming back culture shock, but yeah, God is good and God is faithful. So, yes. And also, I know that we already prayed for the seniors, but I want to pray one more time. Oh, wait, sorry. I almost forgot one testimony. Okay, sorry, last testimony. We went to a hospital, and we were praying for people in the hospital. There was a lot of pregnant women in the hospitals, and we were going to room in the hospitals. And there was this one room where there was a lady, she was pregnant, and I was, like, sharing the gospel with her, and she was, like, didn't really receive it, and then I just prayed that she would experience the love of God. And so, and then I was like, well, I hope she does. But then, after I left that room and my team left that room, we split up into other groups. So another group went in there, and my leader, Gabe, he hears God through pain. So, like, if he has a sudden pain of, like, out of nowhere, that's usually God speaking to him. So he had this heart pain, and he's going past this room, and he's like, I'm not sure if I should go in here, because I know my team has already gone through this room. But he had this heart pain, and so he went into the room, and then one of the girls who knows Spanish was translating for him, and he asked the woman if she has heart pain, and she said, yes, I do have heart pain. And then she started weeping, because, like, how did he know? And I had this heart pain. And then they prayed over her, and she was healed, and she just felt the love of God and received the gospel message. Even when I went in, she didn't receive. But I prayed for her that she would know the love of God, and she did experience it that day and was transformed. And so it was so cool to see that even though that I didn't get to preach the gospel and see my fruit right away, it was planted, and it did happen through my teammates. And so that was so cool to see how she did end up giving her life to Jesus. And God, my prayer did not return void. And so that was a super cool way. But I know that a lot of Christians, they might walk and, like, feel like they need to believe in God, but the only thing, or, like, be transformed, but the only way to change is to experience the love of God for yourself. And that's what I experienced. I feel like that's why a lot of people turn away from God, because they don't know God's love. But God's love is what will transform you. You cannot do it by yourself. It's impossible. It's supernatural. Even faith, you cannot have your on your own. That's also supernatural. I mean, it's in the Bible and in the New Testament and the Old Testament about people not having faith, because faith is founded by God and finished by God. And so I just want to encourage you that it's okay if you don't believe, or I'm not here to make you believe, because that's only what God can do. God is the one who will chase you down and will pursue you as his son, and as you are his son and daughter. And the only thing that can change it can change you is the love of Jesus. That's what changes us. We cannot change our own. As much as I tried to leave my sin behind again and again and again, I cannot do it by myself. I tried, trust me, I tried plenty of times, but God is the only one who could transform my heart and make it new. So anyway, I just wanted to pray for the seniors one last time. And so if you could come up, sorry, I'm making you come up again. because I just know that God's love is the most powerful and the most important thing in the world as far as, like, day-to-day life. So I just want to pray one more time over the seniors. If you could come up here. Sorry. Okay.
front. Cool.
Okay, Lord Jesus, Abba Father, God, I pray right now, Lord Jesus, that they would experience your love, Lord Jesus. God, I pray right now, Lord God, that they would open it. That you would open their eyes right now in the name of Jesus. God, I pray that you they would open that you would open the ears, Lord Jesus, because they can you cannot be understood by just human ears, Lord Jesus. God, I pray right now that you would uncover their eyes of any veil that is preventing them from knowing you, Lord Jesus. Right now, Lord Jesus, God, I pray that you break any lie of the enemy that is keeping them from you, Lord Jesus. God, I pray that you would speak your truth over them, that they are your sons, Lord Jesus. God, I pray right now that they would receive your love, Lord Jesus. God, I pray that you overwhelm them with your love, Lord Jesus. God, I pray that they experience your love like no other, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, come, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, come, Lord Jesus. God, I pray right now, Lord Jesus, that your love would transform their lives, Lord Jesus. That no sin is too great, Lord Jesus. God, I pray right now that every lie that has been told over them that they have believed right now would be broken in the name of Jesus. God, I pray that you would speak truth into them right now, Lord Jesus, as they are so valuable that nothing they have done will separate them from you, Lord Jesus, that they are worthy, Lord Jesus, because you made them worthy, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, come, Lord Jesus. God, I pray right now that you would just bring them people in their lives that would lead them towards you, Lord Jesus. Right now, in Jesus' name, God, I pray right now that they would have professors that would be good and that would have favor on them, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, God, I pray that they would have friends and community that would lead you toward that would guide them towards you, Lord Jesus, as you are the only thing that matters. Because in this world, yes, we can have riches, we can have straight A's, but at the end of the day, when we one day die, nothing of that matters, Lord Jesus. Only you, Lord Jesus. So Holy Spirit, God, I pray blessings over them. God, I pray that you renew their mind. God, I pray that you would, your love would overflow through them, and that you would bring them light, Lord Jesus. In your name, amen.
Good job.
Sierra, you know, YWAM stands for Young Women After Men. You didn't get one. But Nancy Verway got one. She got a Canadian and brought him here. Here he is. Didn't even know what hit him. You got to watch out for those St. Hilaires. We have a long relationship with YWAM over the years. So fantastic to see someone go and enjoy that. It's I'm not going to preach too long, but just you know, YWAM takes that opportunity. It's easy for us to escape our relationship and all the busyness that we're at. YWAM takes that opportunity to concentrate on pursuing the Lord for a number of weeks, you know, and have this experience and kind of get filled with the Spirit without distraction. And you can do that at home too. We just have to deal with our distractions and our attitudes and be in a place to pursue the Lord, that kind of thing. So that's why we are asking you to meditate on Psalms and Proverbs and stuff over the summer. These are poems written by people seeking God and pursuing God and writing things out of the flow of their heart and of what it means to know God. So I'm going to close in prayer and dismiss you, but I want to read you a little bit out of Psalms chapter 5. I want to read 7 and 11 and 12 as a blessing. Why don't you stand up? I'll read this as a prayer. Bow your heads and close your eyes if you could. And just begin to receive the Spirit of the Lord as you hear His word. Because of your unfailing love, I can enter your house. I will worship at your temple with deepest awe. Verse 11 says, but let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them sing joyful praises forever. Spread your protection over them that all who love your name may be filled with joy. Now, these are things you can receive from the Lord. You can ask these. You can pray this. I pray this on you today. For you bless the godly, O Lord. You surround them with your shield of love. Lord, as we go from here today, I pray that the shield of love would be over all of these people that are listening and are here today, Lord, that they would be covered and blessed with the knowledge that you care, that you have pursued them for no particular reason other than you want them, Lord Jesus. It's extravagant and it is unnecessary for you to love us. From your perspective, you do not need us. You have a fellowship in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You just desire us and have done incredible things going beyond the call of duty to reach us, restore us, know us, and use us, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.